Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short.
Patriots
even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast feed over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Do I know you?
Who are you?
Yes, we are back. We are in the studio. First and foremost, welcome into Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com radio here on a Prediction Thursday.
Is it Nitpick Tuesday and Prediction Thursday?
Yes, and Prediction Thursday all at once. We're going to have, you know, it's an all-encompassing program today. All-encompassing. Here we go. First things first, I need to get out of the way. I apologize to everyone who's listened over the last couple of days wondering, where the hell's Playbook? And I tweeted this out the other day on Tuesday. I have no say in my travel schedule. None. Completely. So when the team that I follow, the team that I cover, the team that has been, you know, one of my primary paychecks for the last 25 years, when they tell you you gotta go, you gotta go. And so I thought we would be good for Tuesday, was planning on trying to do Wednesday's show, you know, from the road and then be back in studio Thursday. Just didn't work out that way. So I was away on college basketball duty the last 2 days. So I appreciate the good sentiment and I understand the disappointment for those that might have been upset or want to know, where the hell's Rook? It's the AFC championship game. Where the hell's Rook been? Well, I don't know what to tell you, but in this business that we've chosen to do, that I've chosen to work in, we're all mercenaries, in a sense. And someone who works for themselves, like I do, without any one particular master that I have to answer to, the bottom line is I have to answer to myself. And so you go where the cash flow goes, and that's why I was gone the last 2 days. Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. College basketball last night in the nation's capital. But we're back here today, and we're with you, and we promise to get in as many emails, as many phone calls, as many Facebook posts, as many tweets as we possibly can today, all focused on the one big game, Sunday, right here. And I knew it. Eric, we talked about this last week. I knew deep down in my heart, even though I think I picked Denver last week. I'm pretty sure I did. I frankly, they all run together. I'll be honest. They all run together. Unless you really hit a slam dunk and you remember the score and you nail the score right, you know, perfectly. I'm pretty sure I picked Denver by like a point or two. I think I had Denver over Baltimore, just, you know, eking it out as much as I wanted Baltimore to win. But I had this deep feeling in my gut all week long that somehow the Patriots are going to have the AFC championship game again. I was too chicken to pull the trigger on it. Just couldn't do it. I will certainly admit that. And I watched the entire fourth quarter and both overtimes from the media room at the Rutgers Athletic Center because I was watching Rutgers and Cincinnati play college basketball last Saturday night. And so I'm watching that entire game. I'm supposed to be out there watching the college basketball game because from the graciousness of the folks at Rutgers, they allowed, you know, I was there for a game the next day as Providence was playing Seton Hall in Newark. And I said, oh, I don't want to stay in the hotel. This is stupid. I want to sit in a hotel bar. I want to go do something. So buddy of mine, we went and watched, we got passes to go see Rutgers play Cincinnati. And so we're listening to the game on the radio and I'm like, wow, this is getting interesting. And so when it got to be 35-35 and I'm in the press room at the Rutgers Athletic Center, I'm like, I cannot possibly take my eyes off of this game. Mm. And so my buddy goes out into our seats, you know, and we have press credentials. So, you know, it's all packed in there because Cincinnati at the time is nationally ranked and, you know, a decent crowd on hand at the rack. And there's one conspicuous seat absent out there, you know, in the press area, which is mine because I'm the only son of a gun that's sitting in the media room watching the AFC divisional playoffs.
That was one of the best playoff games I've ever seen.
Was that incredible?
One of the best football games I've ever seen.
Just, I mean, I was riveted. I couldn't. I was afraid if I got up and left, I would miss something that people would be talking about forever.
Yeah. I mean, that the Jacoby Jones touchdown to tie it.
It was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Jones' touchdown was, well, I mean, I can't believe that Flacco got the ball out there. I can't believe that Denver misplayed that so badly that Jones was able to come down with the ball. I mean, my gosh.
Remarkable.
It was hideous. Absolutely hideous. Yeah. Horrendous. How many adjectives do you want to use? But right then and there, that one play, Eric, told me New England's winning the Super Bowl.
How?
They're going to beat Baltimore.
Yep.
They're going to, it doesn't matter who they're playing. Because in the course of seasons that are championship driven, you have to have breaks happen your way that you just didn't expect to come from anywhere.
So,
instead of having to go to Denver and play the Broncos, which would have been a significant feat, I'm saying that the football gods are smiling on New England right now. How's that? You like that?
Okay.
You buy that?
I'm not feeling as confident but as you are, but
you don't like the sunshine.
Well, no, I'm just giving the Ravens a little bit more credit.
Well, now naturally. Let me just say, look, can Baltimore win the game? Of course they can. Jeez, they deserve to win the game back in September. I thought the Patriots outplayed them for most of the game, and then the Patriots kind of spit the bit and lost late. We all know that Baltimore spit the bit and choked it away last year in the AFC Championship game. A guy by the name of Billy Cundiff was directly responsible for that.
Oh, Lee Evans, too.
Lee Evans dropping the touchdown, of course. So, I think the breaks kind of evened out there. And so when you're looking for signs and you're looking for karma and you're looking for a feel and you know that, you know, it's just so difficult to kind of get a grasp on things, I thought right then and there on Saturday night, there's no way that Baltimore should have gotten that win the way that they got it. I'm saying it's over. The Patriots are going to win this thing. I have confidence that New England's going to win this. Now, can New England go out and commit three or four turnovers and give Baltimore a short field? Yeah, absolutely. Can Joe Flacco beat New England? Yeah, because he beat Denver in Denver. So there's no reason he can't go to New England and beat New England. I think the difference in this game on Sunday will come down to what it always does in the playoffs.
Turnovers.
Yes. Yes. There's no doubt in my mind. I think the Patriots right now probably pick off Flacco once or twice. It may be a fumble somewhere in there. Maybe a special teams miscue somewhere. Block punt even. It's going to come down to mistakes.
Special teams
too.
Hurt New England last week.
I realize that. That special teams were horrible against Houston. Horrible. But Houston didn't have enough of a team yet to overcome New England. That's why Jonathan Jones's tweets or whatever it was, or what he was talked about earlier this week, Jonathan Joseph, I mean, it was early in the week, and he says he thought the Texans still had a better team than New England.
Oh, I didn't see.
You know, that. Yeah. Well, that was before that we had the Brendan Ian Badejo, you know, Twitter that, you know, the Patriots are, you know, goofing or whatever, and I'm like, come on, fellas, geez, you know, all I said is 83-42. All right, you're telling me now that Houston is still better, and you just got your asses whipped 83-42, and you're still better? Please, that's not even worth talking about. Here I am talking about it. But that's ridiculous. Go away. Come back next year. You had a nice season, yada, yada. You're not a champ. Get out. That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like maybe that was that ray of sunshine that every team, every title-bound team needs to have. You got to have a break or two during the course of a championship season. Go through history. I can't imagine that you'd find a team that's supposed to win from start to finish who doesn't have something significant happen during the course of that year to change their fortunes, change their fate. It happens. Mm-hmm. Title teams are destined. And in destiny, things must lay down for you in order for you to realize that destiny. And that was the first piece of the puzzle, or certainly a significant piece of the puzzle, Saturday night in Denver, when Jacoby Jones came down with that from Joe Flacco and tied the game up with seconds left to send it into overtime. I'm convinced. I'm totally convinced.
Okay.
So there you go.
Who were they going to beat in the Super Bowl then?
I'm leaning right now towards San Francisco.
I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards San Francisco. I have to admit, I'm very impressed with Atlanta. I did not think Atlanta would beat Seattle. What a wild finish to that game. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God.
I actually felt badly for Seattle because I thought Seattle played their butts off in coming back from that huge deficit. And then, and I
looked
thought
like
they had them.
Looked like another Atlanta choke.
Yeah.
Job.
Yeah. It certainly did. It looked like they had them down. And then, this is where you have to give Atlanta some credit. And that's why I'm leaning toward San Francisco. But quite frankly, nothing would surprise me here because maybe Atlanta, maybe that's Atlanta's break. You know, I just talked about how the Patriots got a break. Maybe that is Atlanta's break. Maybe Atlanta is also destined. I think you need to have, like I said, a little bit of karma come your way in order for you to realize a championship and or destiny. And maybe that was Atlanta's moment. It might have been.
Mm.
I'm still leaning towards San Francisco, but because I think overall they're better.
Yeah.
But listen, to see a New England Atlanta Super Bowl, I'm not. I would not be stunned with that at all. I would not. And as a, of course, a former Boston College Eagle play-by-play announcer, I'd love to see Matt Ryan in there. I'd love to see him there. He was a sophomore at BC, my last year to call the games, and we knew then and there that he was going to be a star. Absolutely, without question. And it's probably taken him a little bit longer to realize that. He needed to finally, you know, get off the schneid, win a playoff game, and now that he's done that, and now they have the confidence to know that they can come from behind, and or that they at least hold on to a lead. They almost choked it away, but that they can, you know, somewhat win a meaningful football game. That might be a significant step forward, not only in his career, but in the history of the Atlanta Falcons. Great piece in Sports Illustrated this week on, you know, a writer and his brother being diehard Falcon fans, living and dying with them. I thought it was wonderful. And I certainly sympathize with a lot of what they said as a Texas Rangers baseball fan, you know, through the years, 40-plus years, you know, before they really have a chance. And they still haven't won a World Series.
Speaking of Sports Illustrated, if you still believe in the cover jinx, Joe Flacco
is on the cover.
And Colin Kaepernick in mini form is on the cover too.
Yes, they're on the cover.
So, for what that's worth.
Yeah. Well, all I know is that the Patriots
are hoping for a Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl.
They need to run and hide if they win the AFC Championship this week. You don't want to be on the cover before the Super Bowl. Nope. Sorry. I think the SI jinx. Is in full form.
Who would be? I mean, it depends on how the games play out this weekend. But I find it hard to believe if Brady goes back to the Super Bowl. Find it hard to believe that he's not the cover boy the week of the Super Bowl.
Probably. You're probably right.
Very hard to believe.
You're probably
Unless they do a dual cover.
Probably,
you know what I mean? Like, unless they put both quarterbacks.
That's
or
the only
coaches
thing you would deflect some of that then, you know? Right? Yeah. You'd deflect some of that.
If it were Belichick and Harbaugh, maybe.
Right.
Something like that. Yeah. But I find it hard to believe. What matters more, it doesn't matter at all.
Right.
But, I mean, if you believe in that kind of stuff,
right,
is how the games unfold this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the Niners-Falcons game ends up being, you know, like the Ravens won last week.
Could be.
That would be the SI cover instead of, like, a blowout win a 9-6 game.
Hey, you know what? I can tell you what the cover will be if Baltimore and San Francisco win.
The Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be the Harbaugh Bowl, right?
Yeah, I don't think I could deal with that for 2 weeks.
That would be tough to take. That would be really tough to take. Yeah. But I can guarantee you that'll be the cover on every major publication in the country.
Yeah.
It's the two brothers going at each other.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so we got a lot of business to take care of. So first of all, you can send us email. This is Prediction Thursday, Nitpick Tuesday on Thursday, whatever it is that you want to talk about today. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's how you reach us here on the program. webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E on Facebook. And the Twitter address is @JRBroadcaster. So fire away a Twitter, fire away a Facebook chat post or whatever you want to do, and pick up the phone and call. We need your predictions. As always, on Prediction Thursday, throughout the course of the entire year, if you nail a prediction correctly, then we have a Patriots yearbook that we have to give to you. I thought for sure this last week we'd get one. Nobody picked 41-28. Not to my knowledge.
That's a tough score.
That's a tough score to pick. It's a little bit of an odd score.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm thinking that the odd scores, just as a hint here, probably are the best ones to pick. And, of course, then we'll probably get a 21-14 game that nobody will pick. But that's just the way it goes. But that is what is at stake. We have the yearbook slash media guide at stake, as we've had all year, for a correct score on Prediction Thursday. Coming up in the program, in our second hour, after Mr. Scalavino goes off and does his thing for PFW, of course, Russell Baxter, pro football guru, and Jerry with a G, Sandusky, the voice of the Baltimore Ravens. He will join us in the second hour of the program today as well. We'll hit some Ravens and Patriots matchup. And to me, anyway, I think as far as the playoffs are concerned, this is the one game that diehard NFL fans all over the country want to see. I think Patriots-Ravens has turned into
pretty good rivalry.
A really nice playoff rivalry that is now beginning to catch on during the regular season, because these teams winning divisions are meeting each other every year. Right? So the Patriots are playing Baltimore twice a year. It's almost as if they were divisional rivals.
Yep.
Because everybody anticipates an early season matchup between, you know, division champs or, you know, the two teams that were in the previous year's AFC title game. So everybody looks forward to the regular season game to, you know, match wits. And now these two teams work themselves back through the entire season, and here they are meeting again in the penultimate game of the NFL season. Baltimore, New England. It's really kind of the way it should be. And I think they're the two best teams from start to finish overall in the AFC this year anyway.
Tom Brady agrees. Said that after the Houston game.
Tom is correct. Houston certainly set the early pace, and they had a great season. We talked about it last week. We talked about
it
back in December.
They
simply ran out of gas. And I think this is all a mental thing. You know, they've gotten now into the second round of the playoffs 2 years in a row.
And Baltimore looked like they had run out of gas.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden Ray said, that's it. I'm not coming back.
That's right.
Anymore.
And I'm sure that Ray Lewis probably.
And all of a sudden, Ravens started playing.
I'm guessing this was somewhat calculated. Figure he probably, the team needed a little emotional boost. I need a little emotional boost. We have to do something to kind of give ourselves a little electricity, a little electric goose, to finish out the season.
He didn't play on the injury, though, I don't think.
No. I don't think so either.
Because that, I mean, he's lucky, they're lucky that he is able to play at all with that injury.
I think the Patriots will run right at Ray Lewis.
You do.
I do. I think they will attack right at him. And they're going to force him to make plays, because I don't think they think he can do it.
Well, and I
don't think he can do it.
And I think they're going to have to run the ball, John, because the forecasts are calling for some really strong winds both Saturday and Sunday. And
favors the short passing game.
Oh, it doesn't favor any passing game, really. It favors the running game. But, yeah, it doesn't help the long ball, that's for sure, which has been Baltimore's strength. Especially against this team.
You don't want Ray Rice to beat you. So I think what the Patriots have to do is they have to make, all right, Joe, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to beat us over the top.
But that's going to be hard to do if according to this, the long-range forecast, 25 to 30, 40-mile-an-hour winds possibly?
That's significant.
Yeah.
That's significant.
Yeah. So, I think the Ray Rice and Stephen Ridley are going to have to play bigger roles.
That's significant. Both teams will have to be ready to roll.
That's why I think that lends itself to lower scoring as well, because I think the clock's going to start moving.
Well, honestly, I thought that, last week too, and it was still ended up 41-28. I just think you don't know where scoring is going to come from. And if the ball is intercepted or fumbled or whatever, that's what's going to create scoring opportunities.
Possibly.
So, I think it sounds good to say that because of the conditions that it should be a lower scoring game. But I'm not willing to go out on a limb and say it will be lower scoring because of the conditions. The game is going to dictate that. It probably should be lower scoring. Probably should be in that, 23-17 type of range. I just think that there will end up being a couple of more things that happen that we don't suspect. I'll give you my score prediction coming up. But in the meantime, let's hit the phones. Ken in North Carolina, you lead us off today inside the playbook.
Hey, man, how are you guys doing?
Good, Ken.
All right.
A couple of things, a couple of points and a question. On passing Baltimore, I do think we're going to take him at least by 7 points.
Okay.
I think we are going to, the wind is going to take away the long pass, which really has been Flacco's strength.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take away the kicking game, which we're not real strong in to begin with.
Right.
My prediction, frankly, is 28-17.
28-17. That's a fairly normal-sounding score and probably be right there in the running. All right.
And
what else did you have, Ken?
The other thing, the Super Bowl, and I'm getting ahead of myself, and I don't like doing that, but I'd love to see us play Atlanta because Atlanta is hated desperately in New Orleans. My daughter lives down there.
Okay. So you think it would be a total, complete Patriots washout if playing Atlanta and New Orleans for the Patriots? In other words, fan sentiment being on New England side.
On the field, and they've got to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, we are going to have the strength of the fans with us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I have to disagree with you a little bit, Ken, in that how are all those fans in New Orleans going to get tickets and be inside the Superdome?
Because they got a lot of money in their Believe me, they go. You know, there are two things that happen that are big things in that city.
Mardi Gras.
Super Bowl,
yeah.
When it happens down there.
And Mardi Gras.
And Mardi Gras. Mm. This is a biggie. And even if they don't have their team down there, they're going to go, brother. Believe me. They are going to grow. I mean, they are going to go, and they're going to be Patriots fans. They're not going to be Atlanta fans. So we'll have the fan base making noise for us. And, you know, one of the reasons that Atlanta is not liked down there, when they had that big hurricane, guess what? Atlanta said, you're not using our stadium. Go over to Houston. They took that personally. And they're going to be Pats fans.
Okay. All right.
And the other thing is Gronk. I mean, what I've seen here is two arm breaks. And I mean, they are. There's no question about that. That is concerning. They were not. I mean, he was blocking when he broke it the first time.
Yep.
And he fell on it.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering, is this guy, I mean, I've seen him 2 years ago do things that I didn't think were humanly possible, including landing on the back of his head.
So you think, Ken, that possibly you're wondering if the arm injury might keep him from being the best tight end of the game from here on out.
Well, I'm concerned about not the arm injury so much. I think Gronk will go out and do Gronk, do his thing. That is not the question. In his mind, he is still the hardest football player there is. What concerns me is his bone structure. Is this guy actually able to sustain, you know, injuries that...
I hear you barking, big dog.
Yes, dog.
Well, you know, that's the X question, Ken, and thanks for the phone call. But we don't really know. I mean, we won't know until, you know, he has his surgery, until he comes back, you know, and starts attending OTAs in the off season, when mini camps come around next June, and then of course when, you know, the big camp starts late July, early August next year, we won't know for sure. I'm sure that what they'll do now is, and I don't know this for a fact because I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the radio either. But it may have been that, you know, this first time around they did what they thought they could do to get him back on the field, and now what they're going to do is they're going to have to look at the long-term benefit of Gronk's health and fix this thing once and for all so it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, because as we saw in the Miami game, regular season finale,
right,
he was not 100%.
No.
Physically or psychologically.
Right.
He wasn't over that.
He was favoring the arm.
He wasn't
the whole
over
way.
That injury.
Yeah.
2 weeks later against Houston in warm-ups, I was watching specifically to see how he would react in blocking drills in warm-ups. And he was favoring the arm again, which told me both psychologically and physically, he wasn't over the injury. So as he's diving to the ground and trying to brace his fall, yeah, I'm not surprised that he re-injured or aggravated the injury, because I don't think he was over it completely to begin with.
Yeah. Medical clearance and should a guy play, to me, are two different things.
Yeah.
Two different things. Medically cleared, yes, he probably was.
I think, yeah, medically cleared means you're good enough to go out there, but if you obviously...
If you sustain the wrong kind of hit, you could go down again.
Yeah, and it's a calculated risk you take.
That's right. That's what I think, too. I totally agree with that. John in St. Louis, you're up next in the playbook. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
How are you?
All right. Excited for my Patriots. I'm glad that we finna do it again. You know, last time I checked, the spread was, what, 9.5?
I think it's down to 8.5 now.
8.5?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay, now this is my prediction right here. I don't think that this game is going to be close. I think that the Patriots are going to win by at least 2 touchdowns. Now, one thing that has hurted the Patriots, you know, down through the years that I've noticed was, you know, them not using the clock, that the advantage, you know, they have to work the clock. Time management means everything. In the fourth quarter, you got the lead, run the ball, run the clock down, make the opponents burn the timeouts, so when you get down to 2 minutes, they have no timeouts, you still have the lead, and you got the advantage right there. I've seen them execute that last week against Houston, and what was the score? 41-28.
Mm-hmm.
I say that at least 2 touchdowns, the Patriots will beat the Ravens.
All right, pick the score then.
I'm going to say at least 28-14.
All right. See, I like the normalcy in some of these scores. Are we're 28-17. Now we got 28-14.
People are trying to get that media guy, baby.
Trying to get it. I like it. All right, Johnny. Anything else?
And then for the NFC, I'm going to say Atlanta definitely, and that's going to be definitely going to be a great Super Bowl. Atlanta versus the Patriots. You're going to have two teams who really don't know much about each other, really never played each other, and that's going to be, everybody's going to be looking forward to that. San Francisco, that would be nice too, but they played each other already this year, and, you know, so I think people are more looking forward to, you know, something new.
All right.
Another thing that I think New England has going for them, everybody, you know, a lot of people are beefing up the Ravens. Oh, the Ravens are going to go to New England and win. And you know what? They beef these teams up, and they go to New England, and they get killed. The Patriots would definitely take the Ravens, hands down. And I pray and hope that Tom Brady do not show no mercy. If they're up 3 touchdowns, keep going at it. Don't stop playing. That's the one thing that hurt, almost killed Atlanta.
I don't think you have to worry about that, John.
No.
Bill Belichick's mindset is to put his foot on people's throats.
Yeah. By the way, have you seen the what's the show on NFL Network, where they do the wired mics?
Mic'd up, whatever.
They some great sound this week on the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Yeah, it was really good.
And Tom, you know, really, I mean, he got vocal in a lot of things. And so I don't think you have to worry about the intensity level if this game is, you know, even if the Patriots have it in hand. I just don't think you have to worry about it. Blake in California, up next in the playbook. Hey, Blake.
Hey, fellas. Afternoon. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. Wanted to see your guys' thoughts on the emotional, mental aspect going into this weekend's game. What I mean is Ray Lewis retirement and the fact that we beat them last year in the AFC Championship game. I wanted to see how you thought that much would go into it. Am I thinking it's going to be too much of a positive factor for Baltimore, or is it just something that, whatever, when the game starts, it'll just go away?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think there's going to be some sentiment for Ray Lewis. But the remarkable thing about Ray Lewis is here's a guy that, you know, frankly, 12, 13 years ago was about as thug as they come. I mean, everybody remembers the incident around the Super Bowl, and there were murder charges thrown around. And talk about a guy that's done a complete reversal.
He went on trial.
And talk about a guy that's done a complete reversal in terms of his public perception. That's a remarkable story, I think, into itself. Because, as we all know, public perception is very unforgiving. But if you say, I'm sorry, and did Ray ever say he was sorry? But when you say, I'm sorry, people will forgive you. This is what's killing Lance Armstrong. That's why he's having to do his mea culpa, you know, tonight with Oprah. This is what's going to kill Manti Te'o. And isn't that an unbelievably bizarre story?
Oh, you know, for every minute.
Yeah. So you gotta be up front. If you screwed up, you gotta own up to it and say, I'm sorry. And, you know, that's why this whole thing is so remarkable to me around Ray Lewis, because we're anointing him as, and in terms of his intensity, frankly, I can think of two or three other players to ever play the game that can match his intensity. The one name that comes to mind at the front, and I said this on a radio interview yesterday, is Mike Singletary. In terms of his overall intensity, just so happens he plays middle linebacker like Ray Lewis does too. The other one would have to be Dick Butkus. Totally old school, but it was Butkus. And then I would also put probably a guy like Ray Nitschke in that category as well. These guys are old school intense. Ray Lewis revived his career because he brought old school mentality with a new school flair. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yep.
You know, the whole dance and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he still got that real Butkus-like attitude that people of my generation grew up with and learned to appreciate in terms of a guy who literally leaves it all out on the field. And yet he's been able to appeal to a younger generation of fan, you know, probably those who are under 40 years old. He's been able to appeal to them because of his dancing and his brashness and his, you know, the way that he styles himself. And, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, he's very much in your face with it. And so that's why I think he's been able to recover from what could have been a real knockout punch, you know, 12, 13 years ago. So,
right.
You know, I do think there will be some sentiment for Ray Lewis in this game, from people who are certainly outside of New England. Inside of New England and Patriots fans, nobody cares here. We hope he loses, you know? I mean, we're gonna root for the team, and we won't think two things about it, right? But I think there will be some sentiment for it. Eric, what do you think?
I think it affects the Ravens significantly. As I said earlier, they were playing not great football. They looked like they were running out of gas, just like the Texans were towards the end of the season. They were injured. They were losing games. They looked lethargic.
Yeah.
And then Ray announces, this is it for sure. I'm not coming back after this year. That infused them with a life that they desperately needed. And they've been playing better football since then. I don't discount it one bit. I think that win last week was an emotional one for them. That took a lot out of this Ravens team. And I wonder how much they'll be able to recover from that and give it one more go.
Yeah.
On the road,
yeah, right,
against a team that they always play tough. I don't know if they have it enough of that left in them, but I don't discount it one bit. I think that will play a huge factor in how in the Ravens' confidence. And confidence is a big factor going into the playoffs. Always is. You have to believe that you can win these games,
right,
no matter where they're being played. So I do think it's going to be important for the Ravens. I don't know if they have enough left.
All right, Blake.
To pull it out, though.
All right, fellas. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Let's hit Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Big Al, what's happening today?
Fellas, how you doing?
Good.
How you doing?
Good. Go.
I absolutely agree that something must have been up with Gronk. You know, none of us obviously are medical people, and it was all speculation. But that's what we do, you know, on Yak Radio. We speculate.
Mm-hmm. True.
We brainstorm, you know. And so that thing must not have been fully healed, you know.
I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah.
Just the way he was acting, there's no way it could have been.
You know, in a weird way, I guess it's the good news, if there is such a thing out of that thing, is it's not his leg again. And hopefully by next year he's as back close to 100%, you know, both top side, bottom side as possible.
The thing is, though, I wanted to see him and Hernandez on the field in these playoffs and potentially in the Super Bowl, because I think that would have given them a huge advantage on offense against really good defenses that they're going to really need. And they haven't had both of these guys on the field at the same time, hardly at all this year.
Well,
and that would be a major advantage for New England to have both of those guys. It was just really bad luck that he got hurt so early in that game.
Well, I think we're going to survive it. I think we're going to make the big game. I don't know who it's going to be against. That other game looks like a toss-up. But I think San Francisco might be slightly better, but it's at Atlanta. So, you know, maybe that's a wash. But I think the Pats are going to make it. and it's less than a day's drive from here. So, I'm already trying to come up with my evil plan. My Ray Lewis evil. You know, try to get over there.
All right.
But, yeah, Ray Lewis, is, I agree, is a throwback, you know, to the old middle linebackers you mentioned, Butkus and Nitschke. I would throw in certainly Joe Schmidt with the Lions from back then, Mike Curtis of Baltimore Colts,
mm-hmm.
and our own Nick Bonacani, who was with the Patriots for a while, didn't really become famous, I guess, until he got with the Dolphins and
right.
you know, won all those games. But we did have him, you know, for a few years there, you know,
right.
on the Pats.
Right.
But that was, you know, when it was all, you know, running back, middle linebacker, you know, that type of thing. I mean, when that's what dominated the NFL. Everybody had to have a good running back, and everybody had to have a good, you know, a good middle linebacker to stop the running back.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
Cowboys had a guy by the name of Leroy Jordan fill that role for years when Bob Lilly was playing in front of him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Leroy Jordan's another classic. I'm sorry I left him out, but yep. he was absolutely a great one back
sure.
then. But,
sure.
But, you know, I think we're going to make it. I think it's going to be about like the Houston game, probably about the same score. One of these low 30s to high teens.
Get off the fence, Al, and make a score prediction, for gosh sakes.
Score?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, come on. You've been on this program long enough. You know the drill. Pick it.
34-16.
34-16.
34-16, Pats.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I think we're going to get after. The key is getting after Flacco. We played them early in the season before we had improved our pass rush, I think, and they converted a few too many third downs on us, and I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think we're getting after the quarterback better here late in the season.
Better
as
hope
long
so.
As Chandler Jones is okay, how's he doing?
Well, he's at practice, but I don't know. He hasn't been healthy since November, so... I wouldn't put all your eggs in his basket.
Is Minkovich you know any better still? I don't.
Well, you saw him play against Houston. He didn't seem
right.
like he was any worse for the wear.
All right. Has he improved at all? You think since then, or about the same, or physically?
I don't know. I would say probably about the same.
He's gonna play.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, they're all going to play because the season could be over. So if they're able to go, they're absolutely going to go. There's no doubt about it. And Al brings up actually a good point here before we go too much further. So an update from practice today that we need to kind of fill in on here before
sure.
we get back to the phones?
Yeah, we can do that. Yesterday, Alphonso Dennard was the only Patriot aside from Gronk. I mean, we knew Gronk wasn't going to be there.
Right.
But Dennard wasn't in practice yesterday. He returned today. The reason he wasn't there is because he was in Nebraska at a pretrial hearing for
yeah.
his incident the week before the draft.
Right.
We all know that.
Yes.
We need to get back into that again.
Yes.
So aside from Gronk, everybody was out there practicing again. They've been very fortunate in these playoffs that they've had pretty much perfect attendance. For the last few weeks.
We don't know the status yet for Sunday, but let's just say
no, but
at least if they're out there practicing, then they're going to be eligible to play.
Look, last week, 15 guys made a miraculous recovery and were taken off the injury report
yeah.
on Friday. So
the whole thing is still a joke.
It is.
We got this email from, well, actually, Fred forwarded this onto us, but this is from a gentleman by the name of Don. He says, I do the weather on the Today Show for Mr. Al Roker for the past 28 years. He's a season ticket holder from New Jersey. For the past 4 years, he's been coming to Patriot games for 30 years.
Get out.
And he says, my professional forecast calls for the stronger winds during the afternoon with still gusty winds at night, perhaps to 30 miles per hour. But looking at long-range maps in the wintertime,
mm-hmm.
things can change,
mm-hmm.
even on just 24 hours advance notice.
Wow.
So it does look like, at least right now, we could have stronger winds in the afternoon, but lessening somewhat to gusty winds about the time we get kickoff and get everything underway as the game progresses, because it is a, you know, what is it, a
6:30
kickoff, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this guy does Al Roker's dirty work?
Yeah, apparently he does Al Roker's dirty work.
Oh, that's too bad. He doesn't get any of the credit.
Says he's a Today Show weather producer meteorologist.
Weather producer / meteorologist.
Correct.
Okay.
That's a cool email.
Sure
Don,
it is.
Thank
yeah.
you for sending that, Don. Appreciate that. Let's go to Bill in Connecticut. Bill, you're up next in the playbook.
Hey, John. Glad you're back. You've been a phone only. It only is for one day.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to give you my prediction first, then I'm going to tell you why. We're going to do what we normally do, which is score a couple of touchdowns in the first half and then open it up in the second half. So my prediction is 38-30. In this instance, I think the bookies are pretty smart. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, 38-30. So you're right there. You're right. I think today, the last I saw, and it was moving, because it opened at 9.5, and then a lot of money came in on Baltimore. So I think the last I saw was 8.5. So if you say it's 8, then you basically have Baltimore covering the spread.
Yes. Well, it might go down a little again before the end of the week, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think – I could see Brady scoring 38 easily on this defense, meaning that they're going to play off emotion like they've been doing for the first half, and then in the second half, we're going to do what we do. And not to say that we're not going to do what we do in the first half, but we're going to pick up the pace in the second half and just wear them down. The wind gust or the weather that is to be forecasted is only going to help that cause.
Okay.
Yep. And then also, you're right. I think this is a team of destiny. Not only have we learned over the season how to win every single way, we're all healthy at this point. And what I'm excited about is, man, this defense is young. And that's what we've been lacking over the past couple of years in the playoffs, is a defense to contend for a title. So not only do I like us winning the Super Bowl this year, but we could go back to back.
All right, calm down. One at a time.
I love it.
One at a time.
Attaboy, Bill.
If you think
no,
about
people,
it.
People, no, I can't let you, I can't
just,
let you go.
You just
no,
said Eric
you cannot, no, turn him off, John. That's it, that's enough. See you, Bill, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. Nope, one at a time, 1 year at a time, we play them one game at a time, one season at a time around here. Don't go thinking about next year. That's enough, thanks for the call, Bill.
Well, all right, then, I will say this also. One more thing before I leave.
I love it.
Okay, one more thing.
Go.
Patriots fan, and I'm a Patriots fan for over 25 years.
Well, we can tell.
We couldn't tell.
You need to take into consideration what you're seeing now, because it's not going to get any better than this.
Well, now, that may very well be true. I love his enthusiasm. But, Bill, you should have seen Eric's eyes bug out of his head. When you said that, he's still shaking his head over here.
That's just calm down.
I love it.
You got to beat the Ravens first.
It. Oh, my goodness. Olivier in Virginia, please save us here, will you?
We want Rook. Is it better?
That's good.
Love it.
That's
love good. It.
First of all, I would like to congratulate Eric on his prediction from last weekend. He was the only one to call the Ravens to win.
Straight up, yeah, that's right. I was.
Yeah, and I can't wait to hear your prediction for this weekend. I'm, my brain believes that we should win because I think we have a better football team than the Ravens. But the Ravens are reminding me a little bit of the Giants' train from last year, where they were not very good at the end of the year, and then they started to click. And this emotional win, of course, they won against Indy, but then they were emotionally charged and they went to win in a very unusual and unexpected manner in Denver. And now they are coming here and they think, well, you know, we can beat these guys. We are full of confidence and this is our year. And I'm wondering, of course, if emotionally speaking, you can attach, some credo or credibility to the fact that these guys are, it may be destiny for them since they won in a certain way, and I hope that we shut this down and we play our best football and we execute, because last time Brady didn't have such a good game, and hopefully this time it will have, and the loss of Gronkowski obviously is extremely concerning because it may end up and bite us in the rear as it did last year. So I don't know what you thought about that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we talked about the emotion earlier already on the show for the Ravens. It's a factor.
Sorry, I'm late.
It's a factor.
No worries.
It's obviously a factor, and they are infused with a confidence that they were severely lacking, and they're playing better as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why anyone predicting a blowout, I think, is insane.
I you know what? I think it's going to be a very, very tight game, and I think it could go either way. I because of that emotional factor, my confidence level of victory is hindered by the fact that these guys know they can beat us. Mm-hmm. They have done it, and they can even beat us at home. So now it's going to be up to the Patriots to actually diffuse that and execute.
Absolutely.
And I think if we can execute consistently and wear them down, because it's true, physically they probably have been tested. They're probably tired. They're probably beat up like we are. But, you know, we don't want to give them enough confidence to recharge their batteries as they are playing us, because if this is the case, they can burn us in a deep throat, in a deep, I'm sorry, in a deep, deep ball over our defense like Flacco can do. And I don't know who's going to cover, you know, either Baldwin or Smith. And mm-hmm. that's another question that I'm not really sure, you know, how, you know, Bill Belichick's, defense play is going to be working on.
Yeah. I don't know. But all I can say is I'm getting a little reverb.
Turn your computer or whatever you got us on down a little bit, Olivier. Got it.
I'm calling you from my cell phone.
Are you? All right, that's weird.
Sorry about hearing
ourselves back. All right, so make a pick. What's your score prediction?
I think that we win probably
28-25. Okay, that's fairly solid.
Yeah, very close to my score prediction.
I think that's pretty solid.
Great mind think alike.
There you go, my man. Good stuff. All right, let's see if we can get Brian and Brighton in here. Brian, you're in the playbook.
Hey, Rook.
Yeah.
I got a nitpick.
Go.
We've been trying to rally all season to get you to get at least one show after the end of our season. And you're MIA.
Well, but wait a second. Hold on. The season's not over yet.
No, luckily.
Well,
luckily.
My guess would be that if the season ends, and when the season ends, we'll do a wrap-up. We did one last year. We did a wrap-up last year, and I'm sure that whenever that happens, we'll do a wrap-up show again this year.
Good. I look forward to it.
Thank you.
A Super Bowl victory, of course.
Of course. There you go. We have to keep the karma moving that direction.
Well, see, now speaking of karma, that's why I called in, because I've been kind of feeling what you were saying about just things kind of aligning for the Patriots this year. I mean, the reality is, we shouldn't have even had a bye. Like, it's absurd that Houston lost those two games at the end of the season on top of that.
You're bringing up a very good point, Brian.
I mean, like, as I was watching that, I'm like, that's just so weird. That's so Patriots Super Bowl run kind of luck.
Yeah, it's
that
true.
Things just happen somehow to our advantage. Now, hey, I mean, I'm a fan of the Patriots, so when it works out for us, it's great, but it's just... It's odd when you see it happen. You're just like, wow, that just... And let's not forget the fact that, like, what, for the last, like, 10 years, the team that loses a Super Bowl, how often do they not even make the playoff?
Yep. Good point.
So, anyways, I wanted to throw in my pick. I don't know if anyone's got it. I'm going to kind of go with a little off Big Al. I'm going to go
34-24?
Yes.
All right.
Wow.
That's good. I don't think that's out of the ordinary. I don't. I really don't. I'm going to say Patriots 31, Ravens 27.
Yeah, 4 points.
I'm going to go 4 points, and I think the Patriots have to score late. I know you mentioned that earlier.
Yes.
I think the Patriots score late. I think they're down like 27-24 to come back and
Brady
and
needs
put
to
it up.
Engineer a comeback in
that's,
the fourth quarter.
That's what I think.
I think the Ravens will get off to a quick start. Get a lead early.
Kind of like Houston did.
Well, but New England sort of took care of that pretty quickly.
Yeah, right.
I think the Ravens will hold the lead for most of this game.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Patriots fans are going to be really nervous for the better part of 3.5 quarters. And then finally at the end, Brady engineers yet another fourth quarter comeback, and they win 28-24. Yeah. They're going to have to come from behind to do it, I think.
All right, Bill in New York. Let's get Bill in New York in here. Hey, Bill, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good now.
One thing I want to bring out to light is, you take our overall rating for the year with the four losses. The other thing you got to remember is that the first three, although everybody was playing with a replacement ref, I'm not saying there was an advantage, but my own personal is that it affected the outcome of these games. So we could be looking tentatively at a different overall seasonal ranking, being if the refs, if we had the official refs the entire season. But, I think we could be looking at possibly a 15-1 versus the 11-4.
Well, what difference does it make? You're still hosting the AFC title game.
You're still hosting the AFC
title game.
That wouldn't make
any difference.
Yeah, it would really, it wouldn't have a bearing. I mean, it might on the overall feel of this team, but frankly, I'm not so sure that's a good thing. I actually believe that sometimes, you know, because there's so much hype about a team out there that it just, the players can't escape it. And sometimes I think the hype, witness what happened in 2007, sometimes I think the hype just envelops you.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And with a younger team, I kind of like the way it played out.
Yes, exactly, you know? Exactly. I think fighting through a little adversity has been good for this team, to be quite honest. It's made it a tougher road, there's no question. But I think it has helped them become who they are, what they are right now.
Yeah. I was lucky enough, we did have tickets to last Sunday's game. I have the opportunity for this Sunday. I don't know if I can make it, but... Overall, I think it's going to be a tough one, but I'm leaning, I think one guy already had it, and I'm kind of leaning towards a 14-28 game myself.
14-28. All right, 28-14. Mm-hmm. Bill in New York is in the books.
Couple of news items before I leave you, John.
Yes.
First of all, it's on the PFW blog, information there, but fans can get a photo taken with Kevin Faulk and one of the previously won AFC championship trophies.
Nice.
On Saturday between 2 and 3:30 p.m. here at Gillette Stadium on
cool.
the field.
Nice.
You have to purchase tickets. They're $25, but there's a link on the blog for you to do that.
Okay.
And Faulk will stick around on Sunday, be joined by Matt Light as honorary captains for the Patriots.
That's cool.
For the AFC championship game.
Very cool.
Team just announced that today.
And appropriate, I think,
yep.
overall. All right. We have any business to take care of? I think we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
And that word of the day is...
I'm gonna tantalize and titillate you a little bit today.
The secret password is...
sapiosexuality.
Oh, my God. Now, if that's not a Scalavino word of the day, I don't know what the hell is.
Any guesses?
Sapiosexuality?
Yes.
I would say, from the root of the word, I'm going to guess and say it has to do with human sexuality.
In a way, yes, obviously.
All right.
That root gave it away a little bit, but it's being sexually attracted to intelligence.
Really?
Aroused by intelligence.
Aroused by intelligence.
Yes, and its use.
Sapiosexuality.
Yep. So a sapiosexual is someone who is attracted to intelligence.
So instead of saying, hey, that chick's got a certain, je ne sais quoi, right, Olivier? You'd have to say, oh, that chick's got a little sapiosexuality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like it! Attaboy.
We like smart women on this show.
Where's Kat? Where is she? Where's she been?
That's a good question.
Where's Kat? Yeah, Kat, we miss you. Kat in Chicago. Thank you.
So
all
there
right,
you go.
All right, good stuff. So anything else that we missed today from practice that we need to know about?
No.
You hit it all, right?
So. Locker room's going to open in about 20 minutes. That's why I got to get going.
All right. Rock and roll.
I'll see you Sunday.
Rock and roll. And
you're back,
I'll talk to you
right?
On the local
we'll talk
airwaves
to you on Saturday
here
morning.
Saturday morning, too.
Correct.
Right? Awesome. All right. Eric Scalavino, at E-Scal, at E_Scal. If you want to follow him on Twitter, of course, we have to make sure we get that right. Correct? Got a timeout to take here. Then we come back with Russell Baxter, our pro football guru. Bottom of the hour, Jerry Sandusky, voice of the Baltimore Ravens, here in the Playbook.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from 8.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
Hour number two inside Patriots Playbook for a prediction Thursday. And at this time every week, we welcome in pro football guru, Bleacher Report, Colard Football Facts, YahooSports.com, the one and only Russell Baxter. Russell, I know for a fact that there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of Patriots fans who are very, very happy with the fact that you selected Houston to win last week.
Oh, I'm sure. And they'll probably be even more ecstatic after they hear what I have to say this week.
Oh, beautiful.
But I have to kick back to my original Super Bowl pick in the preseason, which was Baltimore and San Francisco. I don't know how I got this lucky to get this far, but it was, I remember I picked the Brothers Harbaugh, just simply on the premise that you have to be together with your family for the holidays.
Yeah.
I didn't use any football logic whatsoever, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well,
but of course, I kind of jumped a little off the bandwagon last week. I left myself a little out.
Yeah.
Because what's intriguing about those both teams is they both wound up making significant moves during the season. And I'm not talking about injury.
Mm-hmm.
One team replaced its quarterback. One team replaced its offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Now, those are not your run-of-the-mill moves for Super Bowl team.
That's true. That's true. All right, I'm going to give you a chance then to build to your ultimate prediction. And we'll start with the early game on Sunday, the 49ers at the Falcons. What a tremendous finish it was in the Atlanta-Seattle game. I really thought, you know, first of all, I give Seattle so much credit for coming back the way they did, looking like they were dead. And then I give another amount of credit, the same amount, in fact, to Atlanta for not choking and for being able to come back and kick the field goal that they did. And now Matt Ryan actually has a chance to prove that he is a championship caliber quarterback.
Yeah, and it's, you know, regardless, whoever comes out of the NFC, we're going to see yet another new NFC representative. Atlanta hasn't been to the Super Bowl since 98. San Francisco hasn't been there since 94.
Mm-hmm.
The AFC is totally different. The two teams that are in now, they're one of the five teams that have been there since 2000 in the AFC. It's very different. You know, what can you say about both teams last week? One, you know, Saturday night we watched an amazing display by Colin Kaepernick, and here's why I thought it was amazing. When it was all said and done, and remember the, you know, Packers, it was a back-and-forth game for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So much got put on the fact that what Colin Kaepernick did on the ground. But do you know by game's end he actually threw for more yards than Aaron Rodgers did?
That's true. Yeah.
You know, so now then you throw in what he did on the ground, And arguably one of my favorite numbers of the week is the fact that in the divisional playoffs and in the playoffs in general, you know how big the running games are.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be dismissed. New England last week ran for 122 yards. Baltimore ran for 155. Atlanta ran for 167, which this might amaze you. That was their season high.
That was a bit surprising when I saw the number. Yeah.
Right. And yet Colin Kaepernick himself ran for 181.
Correct. So you obviously like the ground game at this time of year.
Yeah, well, I always do. It's one, you know, it's funny. Atlanta has now played 17 games this season. I guess now they're legitimate because they won a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen a team that was not judged by its win-loss record of the season, but was judged by its playoff record from the previous 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for everybody, as Atlanta, you know, with the best record in the league, tied with it for Denver, was 13-3 this year, you could have sworn they were 0-3. Because that's the only number I heard about the Falcons all year. And it was very odd, because I know power rankings are very vogue right now in the NFL, you know, by all kinds of different writers and sites and sources and stuff like that. And that's all well and good. But it was almost as if Atlanta's ranking was based on the fact that they were 0-3 in the playoffs from 2008 to 2011, rather than being the last team to go undefeated in 2012.
Right. Right. So if you're going to be able to judge, if you're going to judge a team one way, you certainly have to stay with the same amount of criteria. And really, the fact is that people are judging Atlanta based on their past playoff failures when you really should judge the team on what they've done since September.
Right. Well, that would, you know, to me, it's like, that would be like Minnesota didn't deserve to be in the playoffs this year, and we're not going to win a playoff game. And I know they turned out they didn't, because they lost four Super Bowls from, you know, in a span from 1969 to 76.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, if they can't get the Super Bowl, they're going to lose because they lost all those ones in the 60s and the 70s. It's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I think you have to look at this Atlanta team as a different team. They're a much different team than they've been. And it's not just the win or loss record, it's the way they play football. That, to me, was where my skepticism came in. I believe they were a solid team because they're just doing it differently. We've thrown this out a few times this year, John. Roddy White, Julio Jones, and Tony Gonzalez, all with more receiving yards than Michael Turner had rushing yards this year.
Correct.
Completely different than what we've seen.
Right.
Atlanta, I think, was 29th in the league in running the ball. That is not the Atlanta Falcons we've kind of come to know and criticize over the last 4 or 5 years, ever since Mike Smith and Thomas Dimitroff and Matt Ryan got there. So it was a different team. And by this is the time of the year where you better be ready. When you're facing a San Francisco team that ran for 323 last week, you had better be prepared for a big dose, and a dose led by arguably the best offensive line in the league.
Well, you know, I think the rage now, obviously, in the NFL is the read option and how best to defend it. And now that, you know, a guy like, you know, Chip Kelly is going to go from Oregon to Philadelphia, and will he install that offense now with the Eagles? Because he's still got a guy like Michael Vick, who certainly seems, you know, to have the athletic background in order to be able to run that kind of thing. You know, let's keep in mind here something that I understand why the option offense has been a little bit more of a hit in recent years now, and it's starting to be the in thing to run the NFL because it's a novelty. But there's a reason why the veer and the wishbone didn't have a shelf life in the NFL is because of the physical punishment that the quarterback in particular, and certainly the running backs, have to take when you've got guys who are keying on them one-on-one and can basically have free hits without any kind of blocking, interfering, or chipping at them or keeping them from making direct contact, you know, with their targets. And the same thing is going to catch up because, as you well know, there are some smart defensive minds in the National Football League, and everything is cyclical in this league, and I just don't see it's going to take defensive coordinators long to catch up with this. Do you?
Oh, John, my goodness, you and I should write a book together.
There you go.
Okay, there it is. I will say within the next, I have my own theories about all of this, and to me, I'd say within the next couple of years, you're not going to see this at all.
Yeah,
okay?
I think, yeah, this is a fad. The read
right,
option is a fad.
But I will say this. I think it's a fad with a purpose. And this is at least my theory. Yep. You are seeing these young quarterbacks come into the league now and having success. I give a lot of credit to that, to the fact that the passing game has changed so much in the last 20, 30 years in college football, much less the NFL. But I also feel that coaches are doing this to get their young quarterbacks comfortable with playing football in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see some of these things disappear. So I think a thing to keep an eye on is, in the offseason every year, sometimes it doesn't have to be that, you know, we talk about being a copycat league. And sometimes we talk about, well, you got to beat the team that won the championship. I firmly believe that. I mean, that's the team to beat. But I agree with you. This offseason, defensive coordinators will go to school on this offense.
Yep.
Okay? And it doesn't matter which of the four teams wind up winning the Super Bowl. Now, coincidentally, it would be different if it was San Francisco. But I firmly believe that even if Atlanta wins the Super Bowl, or New England wins, or Baltimore wins, the defensive emphasis in the offseason will be this offense.
No question. They'll work the stuff. Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
And I don't think when Robert Griffin III gets back next week, next year, and I don't know if these guys are going to still be running the same offense. You know, people are doing a lot of school in Chip Kelly's offense. And so on. But I think you're right. Just like in the passing game we saw years, the red gun, the run and shoot. Instead of the running back taking the punishment, the quarterback took the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And those things had relatively short shelf life. So it's all about knocking down the other guy and running the ball and not making any mistakes.
Yep.
That is a big part of it. And these high-risk, high-reward offenses are great. But don't you find it interesting that the four teams that are left in playoffs, New England had 16 turnovers in the regular season.
Yep.
So did San Francisco.
Yep.
So did Baltimore.
Yep.
And Atlanta had 18.
Pretty good. They took care of the ball.
Yes.
And that's what's going to decide these games. So you like San Francisco over Atlanta?
Yes. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised if Atlanta win. And again, a lot of this is based on my original pick from my guess is, the way Baltimore's played all these years, five straight years in the playoffs, and San Francisco having a great year. My guess is I'm probably the only one in the country who picked the Ravens and the 49ers in the Super Bowl this year. What do you think?
Well, there are probably some that are rooting for the Harbaugh Bowl, which is, we said this early on the program today, if it turns out that Baltimore and San Francisco are in it, every cover of every major publication is going to show those two brothers on the sidelines side by side.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, to me, it would be just like, listen, we all love the movie Little Giants, okay? And we all loved it when Rick Moranis' team won.
Yeah.
Remember, weren't they brothers? They faced each other in the big game?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the ultimate state. I'll be honest with you, I did a piece this week on Bleacher Report, and I kind of ranked the four Super Bowl matchups, and they all have their intrigue. Atlanta and New England would be Matt Ryan, obviously facing, he went to Boston College, he's facing the Patriots.
Sure.
Okay? I mean, Baltimore and, the rematch between San Francisco and New England would be intriguing considering we saw the 41-34 game. And Baltimore-Atlanta would be intriguing as well because, as you well know, John Harbaugh and Mike Smith both came into the league in 2008. Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan both came into the league in 2008. And I guess there's a good possibility that Ray Lewis and Tony Gonzalez could be leaving
at the same time.
2012.
Yeah. Right, right.
So great storylines with all four of them, all the four teams, very, very deserving, and no matter which way you slice it. But I think there's probably, I'm guessing, I don't know, but I can tell you from the comments I received on the piece, and I got a lot of them, is it was interesting. People say, well, no one cares about the Harbaugh Bowl except the Baltimore and San Francisco fans. And I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, that game was very intriguing last year when the teams met on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. All right, so then for the Ravens and the Patriots, so you can stay true to your preseason prediction,
yes,
of San Francisco and Baltimore, you like Baltimore to come in here and beat New England.
Well, I think there was a little confidence, I think, gained in the way they beat New England early in the season. I think there's, in some ways, maybe even a bit more confidence of the way they played New England in the conference championship game last year. Now, I hear so much about Baltimore not winning that game. But let's give credit where credit's due. New England did win the game. Sometimes we get so caught up in the team that loses that we forget there's actually a team that wins. You know? I mean, there was, you know, the league wasn't, how many games have we had this year? 264 now?
Okay. Yeah.
The teams didn't go 0-264. They went 264-0.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I shouldn't say that. We did have a tie this year.
Yes, that's true. Okay? 263-0-1.
Right. But I predicted that tie, so I'm taking the record.
Okay,
all right. but listen, what New England has accomplished and what continues to accomplish is unparalleled, okay? When you can average, I mean, if they win on Sunday, when you can average, going to the Super Bowl every 2 years, which is what they would be six times in 12 years, I mean, that's unfathomable. Even the great dynasty, as far as making those Super Bowl appearances, okay? I mean, the Steelers had their four times in 6 years. They're the only team to repeat twice. But that stint lasted a long time, but not compared to New England. They had that eight-year run in the 70s. It was great. You know, to me, New England, what's interesting is you have the Dallas dynasty from the 90s. You have the Packers dynasty from the 60s. This New England dynasty, other than the fact that the 49ers changed quarterbacks with Steve Young and Joe Montana, this has all been the Brady Belichick thing in terms of the two key components during this run. But that dynasty, in terms of turnover of players and stuff like that, is probably closer to the San Francisco dynasty, which a lot of people think was just the 80s. But their dynasty also stretched into the 90s as well. So, and that's what you're seeing with New England. You know, a lot of people like to point out that, or I'd like to remind them that, we're in the second decade of the New England dynasty. Okay? 10 years is a decade. We're in year 12. Okay? So, When you can do that over the course of 12 years, and we've said it before, 12 years of consecutive winning records tied for the seventh longest streak in the history of the league, which has only been around 93 years, by the way, just in case you're looking for some context.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's a heck of a run. It doesn't show any signs of slowing down. It doesn't show any signs of a team who has injuries the way they have and just plugs in other people. They are the consummate organization and stuff. So do they win on Sunday? Likely. Like I said, I'm going to stick with my pick and so on, but, you know, it's going to be, at the very least, it will be a Herculean task for Baltimore to put this out. I just want people to understand that I'm not discrediting the Patriots, okay? It's very important. I mean, I still think they have some issues defensively, and it's going to be very intriguing to see if they can cover the long ball, which Denver and Indianapolis have not been able to do the last 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, I don't even realize that Joe Flacco has completed just over 52% of his passes. 52%, John. That's not riveting. And yet, he is averaging over 20 yards of completion in the postseason.
Yeah. It seems like all of it was to Jones, right?
Well,
seemed like it.
Well, no, but you had a 59-yard touch pass to Torrey Smith.
Yeah, well, obviously Torrey Smith too.
Pass to Torrey Smith.
Yeah.
When they were kind of stubbing their toes against the Colts in the wild card game, how did they get bailed out? Long passes to Anquan Boldin down the right sideline. The touchdown pass to Anquan Boldin. So Joe Flacco, who's thrown five touchdowns and no picks in the playoffs, completion percentage, he's been poor. But he's thrown for over a combined, 613 yards in two games?
Right.
But again, he's done it on 30 completions. And this is because of all the big plays. I mean, what they did to Champ Bailey last week was a little stunning. It wasn't just the Torrey Smith one down the sideline. The one right down the middle of the field that pulled off the Broncos' momentum after the punt return by Trindon Holliday, to me, was one of the pivotal plays of the game because it immediately took the Broncos' crowd out of the game. Then they got the pick from Corey Graham, and then all of a sudden, Denver was in chase mode.
That they were. Big-time chase move, and they obviously couldn't overcome it. All right, well, you know what, Russell, then here's where we'll leave it for this week. If of course, you are wrong and the Patriots are able to find a way to win.
I've heard this speech before, but go ahead.
Yes, well, then we will certainly revisit next week during the bye week because we'll have another bye week's worth of programming before the big game takes place. Are you going to New Orleans?
I am debating.
Okay.
I'm tentative right now. I've got some other things that are cooking right now. No pun intended when it comes to New Orleans.
Yeah, that's very true. So. Okay. I like that. All right. Well, one way or the other, then we'll try to hook up and
absolutely.
We'll make
absolutely.
Certain that we
and believe me, for whatever reason, I mean, and I really appreciate the Twitter followers and all that. It was funny because, you know, I was actually on with Terry yesterday with Cold Hard Football Facts, and yep. I was always getting people, who are you picking this week?
Right.
Who are you picking this week?
Right.
But I guess I'd be... It might become a good jinx or a bad jinx.
It's a good thing. It's all a good thing.
Yeah, it's all a good thing, okay? The bottom line is I'm going to get to talk football until you kick me out of here. So
done deal. All right. Done deal. Russell, thank you. I know you'll enjoy this weekend. We're going to try as well. We'll talk to you at some point next week.
You got it, John.
Thanks. Russell Baxter, pro football guru. You can follow him, by the way, if you haven't already, on Twitter, at Bax Football Guru, B-A-X Football Guru, his Twitter handle. All right, let's get a timeout in. Then when we come back, it'll be Jerry Sandusky, the voice of the Baltimore Ravens, in the playbook.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo sacks at Gerard Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
The matchup on Sunday evening, Baltimore at New England for the AFC Championship and the right to move on to Super Bowl 47. And welcome back inside Patriots Playbook, the voice of the Baltimore Ravens, and on television on WBAL-TV in Baltimore, Mr. Jerry Sandusky joining us here again inside the Playbook. Jerry, great to have a few words with you again, as we did early in the year. We appreciate the time, sir.
John, always great to visit with you. How are you, my friend?
Hey, listen, we're ready for a little football. One of the things that I know that I'm really kind of looking forward to here is that there's some emotion here that you kind of feel is a little old school. And by that I mean, it seems like the Patriots and the Ravens are creating quite the playoff rivalry if nothing else, because these two teams win their respective divisions, are going to meet in the regular season, and then they work themselves past the regular season matchup and they get back into the playoffs and bang, here they are playing again. So this is developing into quite the battle, to quite the match between the two sides.
It really has. And, you know, I think this rivalry really started to grow its roots a couple of years ago. It was a Sunday or Monday night football game in Baltimore, and Tom Brady led the Patriots back on a fourth quarter comeback. Bart Scott got frustrated, threw a flag at an official, got a penalty, and the Patriots won that game. And ever since that game, it seems like every time these two teams meet, there is something huge on the line, either first place in their division, seeding in the postseason, or obviously this weekend, a shot at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, it's shot of the Super Bowl is I think, you know, it's what everybody shoots for. We know that, and that's very cliche. But at the same time, back when these two teams met in September, what were the realistic expectations on Baltimore's side to getting to this point again? Was last season's loss to New England, in other words, in Foxborough, the way it happened, did that help drive this team to where they are now?
You know, I think it helped drive the team once they get to January, but the offseason became so much more difficult than the emotional pain, because they lost Terrell Suggs with an Achilles tendon tear. And that, you know, you lose the defensive player of the year, and all of a sudden you're talking about lineup pain, strategy pain, not just emotional pain. So, you know, Ray Lewis comes back and he's struggling. He was not having a great season. And then he's hurt. Suggs is out. This was a team that was not thinking AFC Championship game early in the fall. They were thinking, find a way to win this week and somehow keep it together until next week, because it wasn't the Ravens' defense that we had seen in years past, and the offense was erratic. They were terrific at home but struggling on the road. So in the early part of this season, we weren't sure what this Ravens team was all about.
Well, I think we kind of know what it's all about now, and emotionally, you'd be hard-pressed to find more of an emotional leader than Ray Lewis. How much credence, how much, you know, do you give to the thought process here that his retirement has helped fuel this team somewhat emotionally to this stage of the year?
John, it's real. I wasn't sure what impact it would have. I knew when he came back for the first playoff game, it would be a great energetic moment at M&T Bank Stadium when he came running out of the tunnel. That was predictable. You could script that. But we had no idea what to expect after that. And I think the reason that he is having such an emotional comfort on this team right now is his play is at a high level. He's not just some old guy standing on the sidelines cheering for his teammates. He's the old Ray Lewis, who is in the middle of every play. He has 30 tackles in two games. And he's doing the things that we became accustomed to over the last 17 years of seeing him do. He's setting the defense. He's making adjustments. He's going point-counterpoint with the opposing quarterback. He looks like a 27-year-old Ray Lewis, not a 37-year-old Ray Lewis. And I think that's really the source of the emotional power, is because he's a great football player, and we're seeing that again.
Yeah, and I think fans are kind of rallying behind that. I know that's why there's a lot of sentiment on Ray's side right now. People would like to see it. It's a good story. Everybody loves a good story, and I certainly think we understand that. So I think that's certainly one of the matchups that a lot of people are looking forward to, is whether or not Ray Lewis can sit in there and fill the gaps a little bit and help stop an improved Patriots running game. But, Jerry, I wanted to spend at least a couple of moments here looking at a couple of key matchups, because we can talk about the hype, we can talk about the fact that, you know, the Patriots won one here, and then in the regular season, the Ravens, you know, came from behind to beat the Patriots in Baltimore. You know, all things are equal, all things are relative. I think we probably both feel like the two best teams ended up winning out here in terms of the emotion and the pacing of the season. But the one matchup that I'm kind of looking at that I think a lot of this game could hinge on would have to be Torrey Smith, who had an unbelievable game back in September. And I think those that might forget realize that he had an unbelievably emotional time himself at the time because of the death of his brother. What was it? The night before the game, I guess it was. And the Patriots did not have an answer for Torrey Smith. It was six catches, I think 127 yards, a couple of touchdowns. But now the Patriots might have an answer for Torrey Smith and Aqib Talib, and I certainly expect those two to see some time against each other on Sunday. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you had
you really put the circle on the right spot, because that is a huge matchup of Aqib Talib and Torrey Smith. And then on the other side, you know, you've got to look at Anquan Boldin, who has had a tremendous postseason. He's been very physical. He's playing like Charles Johnson, where he's just going up and taking the ball away from defensive backs. Those two, I think, are hot areas for your defense against our offense. And then for the Ravens, I know this sounds like heresy because everybody knows you have to stop the Patriot passing game. I kind of think you can't stop the Patriot passing game if you don't stop the Patriot running game.
Mm-hmm.
So if I broke down the numbers on this from my flip chart, there's only one trend that really stuck out and was consistent for me, and that's the 100-yard rushing mark as a team. When the Patriots gain more than 100 yards as a team rushing, you're 13-0.
Yep.
When you gain less than 100 yards rushing, you're 0-4. So to me, it says defensively, if you can take away or really limit the Patriot running game, then you force Tom Brady to, at the very least, be two-dimensional, horizontal and vertical with his passing game. But if you let him be three-dimensional and have his running game and his play action, you can't beat him. It's that simple.
Yeah, that's actually a very good number, and one that I think we kind of glossed over this week. A lot of the reason behind that is because, frankly, I think most Patriot folks around these parts realize that Baltimore is going to come in and certainly be ready to stuff the run. Shane Vereen was a huge factor last week in the win over Houston, as I know that you're aware, when Danny Woodhead went out early with a thumb injury, and the fact that he was able to catch the touchdown passes he did and sort of sub in that Woodhead-type role and then also run the ball was a huge bonus. I think that a guy like Vereen could end up being a big X factor in whether or not Baltimore is able to shut down the running game.
John, I think you're right in the regard of whether it's Shane Vereen for you or whether it's somebody who's not a star for us. In a game like this, typically I find it's a player who does not come in on the billboard who gets the opportunity to make the play that makes the difference. Last year for the Ravens, it was Lee Evans. Didn't make the play, and that was the difference in the game. This year, maybe it is a Shane Vereen for you. Maybe it's a Tandon Doss for us, our number four wide receiver. Maybe it's Jimmy Smith, our number four cornerback. I just think there's so many things that cancel each other out in this game that it's a guy who is somewhat below the radar screen who will get the opportunity to be the hero. And whether he's the hero or the GOAT will determine who goes to the Super Bowl.
Here's my hero for you. If Baltimore is to win this game, my hero for you is a guy who did not play a year ago, Justin Tucker.
Yeah, I can see that very much because obviously replacing Billy Cundiff, and it didn't escape us on the irony of this. It was a field goal that kept us from overtime last year in the AFC Championship game, a field goal missed. This time around, it's a field goal made that gets us back to the AFC Championship game. So there's no doubt Tucker is an X factor for the Ravens.
Do you like, Jerry, a high-scoring affair, or do you tend to think low-scoring will do this? And keep in mind, weather conditions may very well be pretty breezy here, which means it could affect the vertical passing game.
John, I'm not going to evade your question. I'm just not going to give myself that much credibility to say which way it will come, and here's why.
All right.
Last week in the preseason, the pregame interview that I always do with John Harbaugh,
yep.
You know, I thought I had really narrowed this down with my research, and I said to him, Coach, you know, everybody's talking about how Denver has such a statistical edge in offense and defense, but nobody's talking about how you have a statistical edge on special teams. Do you see that being the difference in this game? Could I have been more wrong, John? So, you know, whether it's high scoring, low scoring, 10 years ago I was arrogant enough to say, yeah, I know exactly what it needs to be. I'm now old enough to be honest enough to say, John, I have no idea.
Well, see, that's the difference between age and wisdom, right?
Got it, brother.
I think we both have wisdom in that regard. Well, I know that we're looking forward to this, and I'm glad it's Baltimore because I really like rivalry, and that's why it sickens me to see some of the things that are going on in the college game these days, because there's so much to rivalry that you can really sink your teeth into if you're a good football fan. And I think what Baltimore and New England have going on here is a throwback to maybe the 60s and 70s era NFL.
And when you think about, you know, Tom Brady, the winningest quarterback in NFL playoff history, think of the great quarterbacks that have played in this game. Ray Lewis on the last mile of his career, whether it's one game left or two games left, and the chance for one of them to be the influencer on who goes to the Super Bowl in a game that does have such deep roots and postseason rivalry. This is the stuff to treasure. This is why we love football.
Absolutely. Safe travels up this way, Jerry. Thanks for the time today, and good luck to you guys this weekend.
Always a pleasure, John. Great visiting with you.
Thank you. Jerry Sandusky, who's the voice of the Baltimore Ravens, also a TV anchor, weeknight TV anchor, WBAL television in Baltimore. And, yes, he's got the same name as the infamous Jerry Sandusky, but it's Jerry with a G. We talked about that very subject with him when he visited with us back in September before the regular season matchup between the Patriots and the Ravens. And you talk about a guy that's had to overcome his own set of adverse circumstances in light of the unbelievable, unspeakable tragedy that occurred at Penn State. Here's a guy that probably deserves to revel in the season that the Ravens have had as much as anybody. I know we all hope that he loses, but at the same time, you understand that there's always a story within the story. That's some of what we try to bring out here in the playbook. And I do think that looking at Anquan Boldin in particular as being a physical receiver who's had great play thus far in the postseason is a big factor. And while I think Torrey Smith probably will see his share of Aqib Talib, that would put Boldin then potentially, if we go that route, that would put Boldin potentially in a guy like Alphonso Dennard. How healthy is Dennard going to be in order to be able to, you know, basically play up with a guy like Boldin? And do they flip-flop at all? Does he get safety help at all? Big keys here. I'm of the opinion that Joe Flacco, because of the ducks that we saw, you know, Denver flail away at and not come up with late in that game and Baltimore's comeback last week, I'm of the opinion that especially if we've got the breezes that we're talking about here on Sunday, there's no way that Flacco can connect. I don't see
it. By the way, a lot of that game, too, in the shots that were taken to Torrey Smith were predicated on him being one-on-one, and Champ Bailey had him, and they left Champ Bailey alone on a lot of these plays, and that's why they were taking the shots. I don't think, no matter who guards Torrey Smith this week, I think he's going to have help. I think there are going to be, and I pray to God, that there are going to be few and far in between times where he's out there on an island. Yeah. I think he's going to have help over the top.
Yeah, I think that there will be help.
And that's the way
they respect Torrey Smith after what he did to them in September.
But Denver felt like, okay, we have Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil coming off the edges. We're going to bring the house, and we're going to try to get in Flacco's face. And we think Champ Bailey's good enough to be out there alone one-on-one, and he wasn't.
They exposed Champ Bailey.
Yeah, they absolutely did.
The Patriots are not going to say, they're not going to have the guts to say we can man up with him.
I think the Patriots can
learn. They're going to bring help.
I think they can learn from that.
They can learn from Denver. They learn from Denver's mistake. I think you're absolutely right, Kev. All right, let's get to some emails and some Facebook posts here and some tweets as well as we wrap up the program. Let me start off on Twitter. Derek, our boy, Derek Havens, how bad has Lewis been in pass D during the postseason? He's allowed 14 completions on 17 attempts for 177 yards. His mobility isn't there. Can he still stuff the run? Yes. I personally expect, there's no mistaking that Ray Lewis has been a great player for his entire career. But right now, you have to realize that Ray is on the last part of his career. He's on his last legs, literally. And I think the Patriots run at him, and I think they target him, and I think they go after him. This one comes from Wax Frog, who says, similar gut feel to last week, but the Ravens are war-hardened. So I'm going to go closer to nail-biter territory, and he says, Pats 31, Ravens 23. Yeah, I think that's a good score. On Facebook, Steve says, my prediction for this weekend, Patriots 38-34. Game ends with Baltimore driving for the winning touchdown and no timeouts. Less than 12 seconds on the clock, Flacco strip sack, scrambling in the red zone around the 18-yard line, recovered by Mayo, and Brady kneels on the ball. Whew! Now that's nail-biter time. Michael says, Patriots won a close one this week, 34-27. Patriots will hold off a late push from the Ravens that could tie the game. Player of the game will be Will Fork. Or as Mayor Menino says, Wilcock. I love Mayor Menino. He's got to be goofing on himself, right? The player of the game is Will Fork, who draws double teams, helps slow Ray Rice, allows the rest of the defense to make plays. The riot for Ray Lewis will be over. And then Michael says, P.S., put Rook in the booth. You're the man, Michael. Thank you. Axel. Here we go. Pats win 31-27. New Orleans, here we come. That was my score prediction. But I will allow you I will allow you, Axel, to take it as well. Mary Beth, John, I hope we will be hearing the show a couple more weeks. I'm feeling confident, though not overconfident. I think it'll be a great game. Pats 28, Ravens 20, says Mary Beth. Daryl on Facebook. John, if the weather prediction holds, it's going to be a ground-and-pound, short-passing, grind-out battle royale that is within 3 points late in the fourth. I think one turnover is going to be the key to the game, but I don't think Baltimore will cover the spread. A late fumble recovery before a touchdown or a pick six by New England seals the deal, gives us a 10-point win, 34-24. And I second Bill's back-to-back championships, our caller Bill earlier. Five rings and seven appearances, let the Pat dynasty roll. And then friend Tim, welcome back. Glad nothing more important came up today like a tiddlywinks tournament or a cockroach race. Gee, thanks, Tim. Some of us do have to work for a living, you know? Bada bing. I think the Pats win, and Baltimore breaks in the fourth. I believe the Ravens' D is the oldest in the league, and that game last week over five quarters in the thin air is going to take its toll. You know, that's a good point, Tim. That's a good point that nobody's brought up yet. Bring the hurry up from the start. Wear them down. 34-24 Pats. All right, Tim. That's why I say you're a brother from another mother. That's good stuff. And then, wait a second. Oh, I got Steve's in. Let me make sure I get the other ones in here. I have Shane, who gets to come next. Shane says 35-28 Patriots over the Ravens. Ravens run out of gas. So he says 35-28. And then John says, John, I'm thinking Pats win 38-24. Good stuff on Facebook. Nor says, Pats will need guys to step up like how Shane Vereen did this past Sunday. He did his thing, especially after Gronk got injured and left the game. I will not be surprised if Ridley, Vereen, and Woodhead all play major roles in this game coming up. Pats 21-17. He says low scoring. Timothy, Pats win 37-25. Flacco has a good game, falls behind early, tries to press too much toward the end, makes a crucial mistake. Down by five, throws a pick six, or a pick that leads to a quick touchdown, and he says Pats win in cover. David, Patriots will win 45-24. Flacco will have a bad day, three picks, two of them will be returned for touchdowns, 259 passing yards, being replaced with Tyrod Taylor in the third. Nope, that's not happening, but nice try. Ray Lewis should start his retirement now, so you can leaving on a winning note. Okay. I don't mind that sentiment. That's actually pretty good sentiment right there. That's pretty good sentiment. And then I think I got one more here. Hold on. Here we go. Yep. Sean, my prediction, Pats win 30-20. I think this game kind of plays out like the week three game. But this time the Pats get the win with a hand from Ray Rice, who might be due for a fumble. I think the up-tempo offense will gas the Ravens' defense, wear them down, and also just wanted to say I enjoy the show. I started listening in the middle of 2010, haven't missed it since. Go Patriots. Thank you, Sean. That's really appreciated. It really helps to have good fans, you know, follow along and make it happen, and that's why we're here. All right, to the web radio account here, Clay and Foster, Rhode Island. Nitpick. Haven't emailed in a while. Trust I'm listening. I just have to vent about special teams' epic malfunction over the weekend. But I have a question and observation to love your opinion on. Most frustrating to me, thing to me, is Gostkowski's inability to kick the ball through the end zone consistently. If you add up all the hundreds of return yards he allows for the entire year, it'd be a staggering number. Just kick the ball through the end zone. Yeah, that's one of the nitpicks that we've worked on pretty much all season long, Clay. And I agree with you, especially you have to have the presence of mind. And this is very important for a guy like Steven Gostkowski to know that a good return can set your other team up and put your defense on its heels. You flat out have got to figure out a way to kick the ball to the back of the end zone. Now, Sunday it's going to be more difficult to do that because we do expect blustery conditions here at Gillette. And in that regard, field position is going to be huge. The coin flip is going to be huge, picking the ball, picking the side of the field, knowing who's going to have it to start, who's going to have it to finish. That's all going to factor into it. But, yeah, well, that's something that, yeah, he's just got to do a better job of. And if you can't get the ball to the end zone, if the wind is really gusting in your face, you know what I'm doing? I'm squibbing that sucker. I'm squibbing it. I'm not kicking it up high. Or I'm kicking it up too high to the point where my guys can run down underneath it. And hopefully the wind gives you a hand. You can't give up a return. You got to keep the opposing offense inside their own 30 to start a possession. Matt in Pennsylvania. John, glad to have you back. Thank you. I mentioned to the PFW guys earlier, we have a windy game coming up. Sustained winds, 25, gusts 35 to 40. As a result, I believe the short, quick pass game, run scheming will be crucial for both sides. This also means the deep ball from Flacco will more than likely be non-existent. In the end, Patriots will prove to be the winner in windblown Foxborough, 28-21. Good stuff, Matt. Josh in Charlottesville. I don't so much have a nitpick from the game so much as I have a nitpick about the upcoming Baltimore game. Of course, I'm referring to the Ravens bench warmer that classified the Patriots' no-huddle offense as bitch-assedness and brought up the whole Spygate debacle. In fact, I'm kind of glad he said it. Who knows? That was Brendan Iambadejo earlier this week. Who knows? Maybe it even fired up our boys that much more. Ravens are going to come in here hungry, angry, ready to get that win, so this should make for a good one to watch. I'm going to call it 42-31 Patriots. Much as I love Ray Lewis' work, I really hope this is his last game. Count on Tom and the Brady Bunch to make it happen. And then from Josh in Seaville, William, Bill in Burlington, who says, do you think the Ravens will send their kicker onto the field during a timeout before a critical point of the game for another practice rep? No, I don't. And by the way, that is not, I read several places this week. Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but that's not supposed to be allowed. That's not a legal thing to do. It's up to the officiating crew to shoo them away and not let them do it. So apparently the crew on the field in Denver last week allowed Justin Tucker to do that. Didn't they notice? What were they doing? I can guarantee you, if he tries to do that this week, the fans here at Gillette will make somebody aware that it's happening. That isn't happening here. There's just I don't think that's happening. Anyway, Bill says Pats versus Ravens, 31-28, New England. Joe in Dayton, Ohio. Did you guys see Gostkowski limping around the sidelines after that long kick return? Did we get a status update on him? Any reason for concern? No. Also, what the heck happened to Ross Idowling? Was he hurt early this season? Yes. I only recently remembered that I was really excited to see him come back this year. And I guess, like everyone else, forgotten about him. There's a reason. He's on IR. All right, there's our one from, there's our email from our weather guy, Don, from the Today Show. Frank in upstate New York. I was close going into the fourth with my 31-13 last week, but completely missed on the come-out player of the week, having picked Tlaib with two picks. So let's try it again. He says, final score, 27-20, Patriots. Tlaib makes an interception, what turns out to be the final drive of the game for the Ravens. Brady and his offense come in, use the run game we have so longed for to grind the career of Ray Lewis to an end. He says, for my health and well-being, I'd prefer 34-14. At least you're honest, Frank. I like your 27-20 pick. Good for you. Mark from Cheddar. My prediction for this weekend's game, 45-10, Patriots. I know that's a massive blowout, and I realize this, but I have reasons, though. He says, the last three times the Patriots have played the Ravens, Brady has been bad to okay. Despite Brady not playing well, these have all been field goal games. I expect Brady to play well. Last three times the Patriots have played the Ravens, the overwhelming feeling is that Flacco's been great. I don't expect Flacco to be great this week. I think the Patriots defend with Tlaib and McCourty, Gregory covering. If both of my predictions about the QBs come true, I don't see any other view but a blowout. Okay? Like it. Thank you, Mark. At least you gave us a reasoning for your blowout pick. Steven says, I live in Port Orchard, Washington. I've listened to your show before but never had the nerve to write in. Well, thanks, Steven. No, I'm glad you had the... thank you for sending the email. I'm glad you did. I figured that it would take time away from Eric goofing off. No. Eric doesn't goof off. He works very hard. You may not think he does, but he does. Anyway, I think that the Pats have this game for sure. However, I don't think it'll come in blowout fashion. I predict a 31-28 Patriots win, in which the secondary has at least two picks against Joe and his deep ball. And one last thing, I love the comment that one of the PFW guys made about a 100-0 blowout. I'll be hoping for that to come past. You guys are great. Thank you, Stephen, and thank you for writing in. Ray... John, glad to have you back. I had to supplement the 2 hours of my workday I dedicate to Patriots conversation with PFW, and I don't think any human being can listen to that show for more than 6 hours a week. So don't leave us again. Props to E-Scal for putting up with what sounded like the back end of a bowling alley during a drunken league night. Wow. That's a good description of PFW in progress, though, right? Don't you think, Kev? the back end of a bowling alley during a drunken league night. Very good job by you, Ray, creating the visual picture for us inside the Patriots Football Weekly offices. My nitpick for this week is the MVP race in the league. I know this topic is just about old news. I really feel like the rules of the MVP voting should be changed. Unless a player has an absolute stellar comeback year like Peterson, the conversation is almost always about the league's best quarterback. No question. I still think Manning's going to win it. Even though he lost last week, I still think Peyton Manning's going to win it because you're right. Game is all about the quarterbacks. They're the stars. Just the way it is. My predictions, by the way, 28-24 Pats. New England holds the lead the entire second half. Thank you, Ray. Melvin from Tennessee sends us an email. He says, I can't get through to call. Well, that's because our phone lines were jammed in the opening hour. That's good stuff, Melvin. If you can't get through, then you know it's bad, right? He says, how confident are you with Arrington on Jay Jones? And what linebacker would you line up on Ray Rice? I remember them getting spikes on him, and there was a mismatch in the first meeting, and Melvin says 31-21 Pats. Wow, good one. Yeah, spikes before. I tend to think Mayo's going to see his time and probably be a little bit of that guy that's going to watch what Ray Rice does. It could be either one, because Spikes has played a lot in the middle as well, as we know. And as far as Jones is concerned, Jacoby Jones, well, I still think that the Ravens are going to, their primary target will be Torrey Smith. Bolden they have to go with. Jones would probably be probably Arrington, but Arrington's only going to be there in sub-packages, all right? And so if they go with three wide, then you probably will see Arrington on him. Am I confident? No. Do we need safety help? Yes. But I just don't think this is going to be a vertical passing day with the way that the weather is shaping up, Melvin. So I'm not sure that is something that you really have to worry about, at least right now, until Baltimore proves you wrong. Jeff says, I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves today. Am I hearing the Pats win by one or two touchdowns? I'd love nothing more, but I don't think it's going to happen. Vegas is going to take a licking on this one. He says, Pats 19-17. Wasn't there chatter about the weather last year, he says? Not sure if I'm imagining that. Yeah, I think there was. Did we have a cold AFC title game last year that was brutally cold?
It wasn't that bad, was it? That Miami game was way worse this year.
I remember it was cold, but I don't think it was like...
It's going to be the same as...
Sub-zero temperatures.
No, it's going to probably be in the 20s or 30s like it was last year.
John says, Patriots 38, Ravens 24. I don't think it'll be as close as everyone predicts. The good feelings and confidence the Ravens have right now is only going to take them so far. In the end, we have to remember, we have one hell of an offense. Our secondary is less of a worry than it used to be. I think the Pats get started early and the Ravens get tired late. Sean, I hope you guys are doing great. The Ravens' offensive line has improved dramatically since McKinney came in to play left tackle. Flacco had tremendous time in the pocket against the Colts and Broncos. So a huge key for the Pats on Sunday is finding a way to pressure Flacco. They don't have to sack him a bunch of times, but make him uncomfortable, force him incompletions, maybe a couple of turnovers. That's a great point, Sean. Sean in Vancouver, British Columbia, coming up with this one. Missing Gronk is a big blow, but the Pats have more than enough weapons to put up points. Patriots 35, Ravens 28. Sean, that's good stuff. Good analogies. Good analyzation. Brian at Essex, Vermont. It's really nice when the Pats come in with the best record in the NFL. However, look at the Broncos, the darlings of the NFL this year. They were hyped to death because of Manning and company, and then they lost to the Ravens. Too much hype puts too much pressure on the team. And I think coming in lower-seeded teams sometimes allows those teams to feel like they have a chip on their shoulder because they're not getting enough respect and so forth. Not that the Patriots need it. I don't think any team at this stage of the season should need additional storylines to win all-important games. I think the Ravens are playing well. They always play well against the Pats. This game is much less predictable than the Texans game was. But he doesn't give us a score. All right, Brian. But good analogies anyway. Paul says, if New England special teams does their job, Pats win 24-17. All right, two more quick ones. This is Sergeant Max from San Diego. Hoorah! John Brady will sound like King Leonidas saying, this is Foxborough. As the Ravens are kicked out of Foxborough, he says, Pats win 31-21. Thank you for your service, Sergeant. Janine says, John, I really want to win the yearbook. My prediction is Patriots 27, Ravens 21. All right, Janine, you're in. And then Frank of Virginia gets the final call here. Frank says, is Brandon Bolden going to be a factor in the game? I thought he was good earlier in the season, but he says Pats 31, Ravens 24. He'll be a factor perhaps. I think Shane Vereen is going to be a more of a factor. All right, thank you for all of your emails today. We knocked it out of the park there. Phone lines were utterly jammed. Couldn't even get Melvin from Tennessee in the opening hour. And then, of course, Russell Baxter and Jerry Sandusky from the Ravens Radio Network. Great stuff today. The AFC Championship game kicks off here Sunday night right here at Gillette Stadium, 6:30 p.m. or 6:40, give or take a few minutes because of television coverage. Yep, I'll be back on the mic. Love it. Love it. Would never miss it. I think it's my fifth AFC Championship game. I'm blessed to have been a part of it. We're all going to be a part of it in some form or fashion. And win or lose, one way or another, next Tuesday, we'll be back here in the playbook. Hopefully, it's bye week for the Super Bowl, and we'll have three shows next week, and we'll be bored to death because no one likes the bye week for the Super Bowl. One way or the other, though, we'll be back on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Make sure you bring everything that you can to the table, Pats Nation. See if we can come back and talk about a win next week and have less to nitpick about. Football Nation, coming up next right here on Patriots.com Radio. Stick around. Same time, same channel, next Tuesday.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.